We're on the brink of World War III. You're going to see national leadership exposed in many different ways. You'll see congressmen. God said in February, instead of having some sort of national calamity, we could have some sort of national revival.
Pastor Brian Gibson, it's great to have you back here with us on Charisma. Last year, you gave us a prophetic word of what God was saying to you for the year 2024. And now we're about to go into 2025. So we're going to look back at 2024 and look ahead at 2025. And so it's great to have you back with us.
Hey, what an honor. Always great to be with you. And good to get the band back together here. Let's
go. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, let's first, before we look at what God is saying for the future, let's see what God had said to you about this last year. You know, we've come basically a full calendar year. And just to kind of sum up some of the things, and I'll put a link to this article that is in Charisma News. So if you want to read these things here, you can just click the link in there to read that here. But Pastor Brian, you said that it's going to be about how hungry the church is and how hungry is the camp of darkness, which will set up the stage for what's going to happen in 2024. You talked about this hunger that like that's going to be a big driving force for what's going to happen. And you talked a lot about the young people are susceptible to darkness of witchcraft. And we've seen that a lot through like Taylor Swift, Kendall Jenner, Ariana Grande, and even like toys that have come out this last year, the Mothman, Build-A-Bear, Disney shows. And the young ones, the young are the ones that who have felt the pressure from to vote for politicians like Kamala Harris that believe that abortion is completely necessary. But you said that revival that was prophesied was going to continue to break out, and especially in little pockets. And so what we've seen is that there was a lot of college campuses throughout this last year that revival started breaking out all these different places. And it didn't just stay there, but it's kind of like popping up in different places. What are some of the thoughts that you have about this as we're kind of looking back at just this word about revival?
Yeah, kind of the word I had was Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Right? Who's the most hungry? Who wants it? That's a lot of life anyway. Who wants it the worst? Does the dark, evil, wicked camp want it the worst? Or do the people of light, do they want to win and see Christ prevail? And so I think there was a fire that was lit in the church in 24. I'm thankful for it. I believe we caught a wave of intercession because we wanted to stand against the darkness. Yeah. I mean, you could see the darkness rising and you could see darkness overplaying its hand. And a lot of people were woke up about a lot of things. They didn't go woke, but they woke up, right? And they're like, what is happening to our nation? What's happening with our young people? What's happening with our moral fiber? And that lit a match to cause the saints to begin to pray. And I don't think it was just a match. I think it became a torch. And then there was great concern in 24 for all of us about the election. I mean, anybody that had a spiritual bone in their body, they were praying, they were fasting, they were seeking the will of God. And I went through a large portion of time in 24 where I couldn't even sleep through a whole night. Mm. Not out of fear. It was just like God was waking me up to pray. And I'd get up and I'd pray an hour, I'd sleep an hour. And that went on. And it wasn't just me. I get that report from everybody. And I really believe the saints got hungry and we prayed that through. You know, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. We shut heavens, we open heavens, we're the Elijahs that do these kind of things. And so I want to commend all the saints that prayed. I really think their prayer focus extended grace for it didn't save our nation. So I don't want people to be deceived. Our nation is not saved because Donald Trump's coming to office. Trump will not make you a very good savior. And listen, I'm a Trump guy, but he's not my savior. And I do, I don't want to use the word fear, but I'm concerned that people think because we won a presidential election, our nation is like, oh, it's all good now. Well, I think we have to keep the torch of intercession and prayer and really going after doing something for our people and our nation at the high. I think that's the church's highest call right now, right? Yeah. Salt and light, preservation of morality and bombarding heaven to get the word of the Lord going. Now on the revival pockets that popped out, colleges, I was talking to you about pockets of revival. I'd been prophesying college revivals and even like timelines when they would, step up and on a couple different national shows, and those things happened. And yeah. I'm so thankful because you can't touch a nation without grabbing 20-year-old kids, 18-year-old kids, 19-year-old kids. You look back to every historic revival, that's kind of the group of people that it starts with. So yeah. Seeing that stuff happen at A&M, seeing it happen, I can't even remember where all it happened now, like different Texas campuses, so many, Georgia. Yeah. I think Auburn had a touch. I'm trying to remember. I mean, it was all over the place. And even some Ivy League schools have some larger prayer gatherings. They didn't get the press. They try to keep those a little quieter because of the forces that be there. But I mean, stuff's happening, and it makes me hopeful and encouraged. And come on, if we can win some college campuses, we can take our nation back.
Amen, amen. I believe that. Well, another thing that you said that was really startling back in that word from last year was that you said, "I see in 2024 a lot of lampstands being extinguished. Their lampstands have been focused on the wrong things, and they've been shining on the wrong things, and the attention is me." And I think one by one, a lot of those things are just getting moved out of the way. I think everybody's so focused on this kind of world that we lost a morality. We lost the power of God, and we lost our fear of the Lord. We lost a lot of those things that really mattered. That is a very stark warning. But in this last year, we've seen a lot of lampstands get extinguished, and a lot of pastors get exposed. And for things that they had done that they hadn't repented of and dealt with in the past or whatever. There's too many stories to talk about at this point, actually. And it's what's your thoughts about that part of it?
Yeah, it's one of those things that you hate, right? And it breaks your heart for the body of Christ and the church folk and even the leaders that make the mistake. Like I've got grace for messed up people. So, I like to restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, but I do know God's the God of all grace, and he'll give you so long to get your stuff ironed out, right? And I'm thankful for that grace. But at some point, the grace of God turns from you getting it fixed privately, and the grace of God will then manifest in a way where you have to get it fixed publicly. Mm-hmm. And it might destroy your ministry or your church, but it might just save your soul too. So even exposure can be the grace of God. And we lampstands, but lampstands will suffer in the midst of that. And the lampstand's the picture of the church. So my heart's broken to see what's happened. It's one of those things that I never want to see a lampstand go out, but if a lampstand becomes ineffective and it's no longer pushing light, and it's just an empty, it's an empty lamp without a fire on the inside of it, the lampstand does us no good. And so God's a God that'll reorder things, restart things, and remove some leaders. And we've seen it in 24 in a real drastic, right. I mean, stuff we didn't think we would see come the way it came, right? Especially there are certain states. I mean, Texas has been affected big time. And I think when I see Texas affected big time, in a way, Texas is like the heart of America, middle America. Everything's bigger in Texas. You go around the world and people want to know where you're from. The places they'll think about New York. And they'll think about cowboys in Texas. If you're in other countries, right? It's the way it is. Where are you from? You're from New York, you're from Texas. I think it's a symbol that God's reordering his heart. When you touch the Lone Star State, the heart of America, I think it's God wants his heart healed in his church. So they're out of the guard your heart with all diligence, out of it flows the issues of life. So there's been real heart surgery. And I feel like the hand of God came and he's touched the church in 24. There's been some cuts that hurt, some exposure that's beginning to flow out of that. But I think a healing starts in those places in 25. A lot of those areas that have been touched, God's already tapping on the shoulder of new apostolic leaders that'll come and fill roles. I see guys stepping up big time over the next 24 months. You'll have some voices come out of the cities that were really affected that will take next 24 months. They'll take real national growing spiritual leadership roles. Let me say it like that. Real national prominent growing spiritual leadership roles. And God will take care of his church. And, you know, the church isn't built on any of us. Amen. So I am thankful for the call of God, but I can be replaced. And so let one be removed and another take his place. And may the kingdom of God go upward and onward. And the guys that messed up, I pray nothing but the best for them, grace of God. And I'm for them too. So I think we just got to pray and we got to believe God and look for new emerging leadership and new emerging churches, new lampstands, right? God loves his church. Here's what I think will happen. So judgment begins in the house of God. And I'm not saying that like this is a final judgment, but this is a part of judgment, right? God gives you so long the grace of God, but even God's grace is in his judgment. I believe that. I think it begins in the house of the Lord. And God has to start things there because the church is preeminent over everything, right? It is what he's building on the earth. But there'll be a trickle down that'll start now in 25. And governance and governmental judgment and the setting down and the rising up of new leaders, it's already started all over the world, and it's coming to America. In 25 and into 26, you're going to see national leadership exposed in many different ways. You'll see congressmen exposed in many different ways. You'll even see local judges, DAs, people that have been in bed with foreign entities and policymakers. I see people in bed. I see this prophetically. And I see it's like they're in bed and honestly, they're naked in bed. They're covered in covers. And the hand of God comes, grabs the covers, and I see foreign flags on top of the covers, right? I see China. I see these covers, and God's going to come. He's going to grab those covers, and he's going to expose what's happening. So what you saw in the church in 24, you're going to see big time in 25 and then going into 26 as well in a governmental level. And it's not going to fix everything, but there's going to be some real key aha moments. So prepare yourself. We're going into some interesting waters in 25 in that area.
Yeah, for sure. So we talked about revival. We talked about, these lampstands, and you kind of transitioned into what God's saying about that for 2025 and even beyond. But what do you feel God's saying about revival, about the church? What are some other things that you feel like God's saying for 2025?
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, the prayers and the intercession and going after God is so big right now. We're on the brink of World War III. So I'll seg into revival from here. Like, this is not going to be an encouraging part where I start here, but we're on the brink of World War III. Some people would say we're already in a hot war or a war that's unseen right now, that World War III has already begun. I'm praying every day against World War III. I'm praying against nuclear war. I'm praying for peace. I'm praying against the war hawks and the industrial military complex that wants to trade blood for money. And so I spend a lot of time praying against that and interceding. And I saw this in September of this year, prophesied it in a conference I was at in Louisville, Kentucky, but I saw an exchange of missiles between the U.S. and Russia, all right? And then I couldn't tell what kind of exchange it was. I didn't think it was nuclear. I didn't know what it was, right? But I saw an exchange of missiles between the U.S. and Russia in some shape, form, or fashion. And then I saw provocations keep escalating until February of 25. February of 25. And then I saw something in February of 25 that I can't even describe what it was, but it was massive. And it was of the scale of things that had never happened on U.S. soil before. I'll say it like that. Like it was nationally shaking. And God spoke to me and said this. He said, we could have a disaster or calamity in February of 25, but if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, right? Yeah. Repent, turn to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, seek his face, he would come and heal our land. And God said in February, instead of having some sort of national calamity, we could have some sort of national revival. We could take it and pray it and change the narrative and turn it the other way. So I've been praying like wholeheartedly against something catastrophic coming in the first of the year. Specifically, February is the month I keep getting. I have other prophetic friends that have been saying first quarter, right? We've been talking, and I think me and Joseph Z, Prophet Z, were talking the other day, and he has something like that at first quarter, and I'm like, I saw February. So we're spending a lot of time praying and believing God to turn these situations and to do something here. So I do think that we have a great chance for a larger national revival. And in the midst of what's happened in those college campuses, God told me he's also tapping on the shoulders of young men and women right now to fill a lot of these voids that have come in leadership in America. That revival is about making another generation of leaders. That's what happened with the Jesus Freak Days out in California. They've been the pastors of the church for the last, 40 years, 50 years, something like that, all over America. Well, they're aging out now. And my age group, I'm middle 40s. You know, there's got to be a group that replaces us. Mm-hmm. And I think in the midst of this madness, this revival's come to grab a hold of leaders, touch young people, set their hearts afire with God, and to get them in the game in America. And I think they're the guys that could usher in the greatest reformation, greatest revival we've ever had. And what we have to do to steward in our age group and older right now, guys that have the reins right now, we have to pray and be level-headed, seek God. We need to fight once again for national leadership positions, governance and governmental positions, and get back in the game so these people can't take us to a nuclear holocaust, right? There's a lot to be won and a lot to be lost now. And we better stay sober and serious, and it's time to pray.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned about the generational transitions. Okay. And so we had the Jesus people movements of the 70s. And now it's kind of like, here's another generation that's about to break out. And these next generation of leaders will rise up. And as you were talking about that, I was just in my mind picturing the succession of kings in the Old Testament and how from one king to another, the kingdom could be drastically different. And that transition period, you could either have like, a good king and then a bad king, or you can have a bad king and then a good king, or you can have a series of bad kings. But, you know, that transition period is vital. And so we're in that right now, I believe. And that's something that we need to be looking out for. And I know that God's going to raise up the right people because it's obviously a different parallel than the Old Testament kings. But that transition period is what I felt was the thing that we need to really be praying for. Regarding that.
That's exactly right. And that's a great way to illustrate what's happening. You know, when kings get sick or kings die in the Old Testament, all hell breaks loose, mm-hmm. right? Everybody starts fighting for power,
Or when presidents are lame ducks.
Yeah. You know, it's the same kind of thing, right? Right now. And everybody's grabbing to get a hold of theirs right now. And we need to pray because it's a transition time is a dangerous time. It's a time of great opportunity, but it's a dangerous time for kingdoms. And it's when people are carried off into captivity often or they step up and another leader emerges. So we mm-hmm. need to pray for godly leaders to emerge. I don't want to just prophesy gloom and doom over 25, but I mean, it is a somber, serious moment in world history. You're talking about, we hadn't had a moment like this since you get back in the 30s, going up to World War II at this level. And I think it is a time. Our January fast, churches all over America fast in January, mm-hmm. probably the most significant fast we've had corporately for our nation in many, many years. And I believe everything isn't set in stone. I believe we can cooperate with the grace of God, speed up or slow down prophetic timelines. But I think we can extend grace if we'll go after what God has for us here in the next few months.
Amen. And talking about that extending grace, I mean, you've had kind of like an ongoing revival at your church over this last year or so. And you've seen some things that are kind of unexplainable and you were actually critical of before you started experiencing them. Can you tell us about some of those things?
Yeah, well, revival broke out in October of 23 at our church. We have churches in Texas and also Kentucky, but specifically in our Amarillo location, we had crazy stuff happen. Like, Spirit of God came in, angels are like touching people. People are like, something's touching me, I don't know what's there. All sorts of healings broke out. Two guys, not one, you don't hear this a lot, and it sounds almost so fantastic, it's hard to believe, but two guys dropped dead in our church services. And so, you know, my preaching was so bad, I guess it was killing people. But the good thing was, is that through the power of prayer, both of those guys were literally resurrected in front of the crowd, you know? So I've never witnessed anything like that. And that kicked off a move of the Spirit. And people talking about what's going on, people got excited, and the power of God's come in, and we've seen every kind of healing, every kind of miracle. I'm talking cancers, hearts, eyes, ears, you name it, bones, just the miracles. There's so many testimonies, we're forgetting about the miracles now. So we're trying to do due diligence to make sure somebody's journaling, you know, the testimonies when they come back in, because you don't want to lose. You want to celebrate appropriately what God has done. It's just been amazing. But there have been some odd manifestations too. And we were talking about that before we came on. And I've seen something that I hadn't seen in 20 years. And I used to be a big critic of this kind of stuff. So I was even careful when it started happening how much I would talk about it. But 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, my brother went to a church that I thought they were just weird and bizarre, and they started talking about like gold dust falling on people and these kind of things, and I'm kind of like, well, I don't see that written about in the New Testament back then, you know. I had a more narrow view of what signs and wonders mean, right? I mean, the signs are listed, Matthew chapter 16, the wonders aren't. So the wonders are innumerable, but it says these signs shall follow them that believe. But then there are wonders. What's a wonder? A wonder is something that makes you wonder. Yeah. I don't know what it is. You know, I don't have an explanation. I'm not going to try to clean it all up for you. And there's something about Western Christianity that wants an answer for everything. There's a term Paul talked about, the mystery, you know, of the gospel. It would do us some good to understand there's some mystery in an all-loving, all-knowing, all-seeing God, right? It's like, I don't have God figured out. I know who Jesus is, I understand the gospel, but I don't have it all figured out. So I go to this meeting to prove this guy wrong, okay? This is false. There's not gold falling on people. You're crazy. I go walking into the meeting. I get a call, and my dad calls me, says, Brian, your dog's been hit by a truck, and his leg's broken. Vet's closed, and we're from a small town, but he says, I'm going to take him in first thing in the morning trying to get a hold of him. So I'm like, oh, man, my dog's been hit. I go in, and the prophet I go to criticize, his name is Mahesh Shavda, and written many books. People know about him all over the world. Mahesh has been around a long time. So I walk in, and that gold has fallen when I get in there, and I can see it. And I'm trying to look to see if it's a con. You know, are they pumping this out of air vents? What's happening here? And all of a sudden, Mahesh has a word of knowledge, and he says, there's a guy in the room. Your dog's just been hit by a truck. His leg's broken, but God wants to heal your dog. Well, I don't want to be the dog healing guy. I don't want to answer the call. My sister-in-law sells me out. She starts screaming, it's him, it's him, it's him. So I stand up, Mahesh prays, and I go out, call my dad, and my dad reports, man, your dog is totally healed. I don't know what's happened. His leg is no longer broken. It touched my dad, and my dad got born again. So my dad got born again because some prophet manifested a bizarre manifestation, right? Gave a word of knowledge and God healed a dog. There's going to be so many people make fun of me for this story, but I'm telling you, I was there. It happened. It's the power of God. So I haven't seen those manifestations for about 20 years. But they started showing up at our church again. And gold would start just, I don't know. It's like gold dust, gold, whatever you want to call it. You know, I shouldn't even call it gold because I haven't like taken in, haven't tested. I'm just telling you, it shows up everywhere.
And have you been able to collect it?
You know, I haven't collected it, but I've collected some of the stuff that comes in like
okay.
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, people pick it up and carry it out all the time, this stuff. And it comes thicker at times. So I wouldn't even talk about it because I know, you know, the kind of like harassment and what people are going to say. And it is hard to explain.
Yeah. And you don't want your church to become that destination.
That's not what I want. Yeah. I'm a gospel preacher.
Right.
Right. So, you know, guys that have like deliverance ministries, I'm not that guy. I'm a gospel preacher.
Mm-hmm.
So do I cast out devils? Yeah. Am I a healing guy? No, I'm a gospel guy. So when I preach the gospel, people get healed. So for me, gospel is center. And these other manifestations, they happen because when you preach the gospel, stuff happens, right? Signs and wonders follow them that believe. So it's not like I jumped on the gold train and made a gold church Instagram, you know, handle, prophet of gold. I didn't want that. So I wouldn't hardly talk about it at first, but it kept happening. And people are seeing it and they're looking around and people are going around after services picking it up. And it's a wonder. I mean, and it'll show up real thick at times. And sometimes it's just a little here and there. Often it shows up on people's hands in worship. Do I know why it does that? I think it's just God getting people's attention, mm-hmm. right? It makes them wonder, and it makes them wonder what's happening. And there's a lot of critics of this kind of thing out there, and, you know, whatever. They have a right to their opinion. I don't lose a lot of sleep about what critics think anymore. I live in I'm a gospel preacher in America in 24. We don't care what you think about us anymore, right? I care about what Jesus thinks. So other manifestations happen too, like oil will just show up and pour out of people's hands. And pretty amazing manifestation of the Spirit. And some people will say, well, what is the purpose? I'll give you an example. I think it's God showing that he can break into the now anytime he wants to, right? And then I think when people get hungry enough for God, the atmosphere gets thinner. The Celtic Christians talked about a thin place, right? They would even dedicate places of prayer. They would say it was a thin place. And the idea was the veil between man and God has gotten thin. When I think about heaven, I think about a place with streets paved with gold. I think about a crystal sea. I think about gemstones. I think about all this stuff that's beautiful. I think maybe the veil gets thin enough, a little bit of heaven blows into the atmosphere. And that's what you're seeing. Let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. I mean, that's what we've been praying.
As it is in heaven, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the best I can explain and do with it. Now, I'll say this, the oil thing, I had a buddy. And oil started, like, it would pour out of it still pours out of my hands when I preach and stuff. And almost always, if I'm ministering, there's oil in the palms of my hands now. And it's hard on suits, but it's a glorious manifestation. But I had a buddy, I was telling him, I was getting ready to preach for him. I said, man, I got this, this oil's been showing up in my meetings. We've been friends forever. And he kind of looked at me like, yeah, Brian, you know? And so I get it. I get why somebody would be like that. And the next day in service, worship is going on. Me and my wife walk in by the guy that kind of looked at me funny. He's standing in church. And when we walk in, stand by him, all of a sudden he starts looking down at his hands. And he runs out to the bathroom. This guy's like a three-piece suit, suited and booted kind of guy. Even his family member runs like a custom clothes. Everything's perfect on this man. Mm-hmm. So he's looking at his hands. He doesn't know what's on his hands. He runs to the bathroom, washes his hands, comes back out, oil still pouring out of his hands. I turn around, now he's weeping. And he looks at me like, what have you done to me? And I'm like, you shouldn't have made fun of me, man. You know. So here's what he does with that. He goes to get his suits tailored like the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks in and there's some Muslim guys in the tailor shop. They run the tailor shop in Louisville, Kentucky. And one of them says, I know you. I know you. I've seen you before. And he's like, well, maybe you saw me on TV. But he's like, no, I know you. He's like, we're Muslim, but our sister is Christian. And she started going to a church where you're at. And she brought us a video. The Muslim said, you're the oil guy. Because they took a video of him. It was on TV over there. You know, you're the oil guy. My friend's like, well, I'm not the oil guy, but that happened to me. And they're like, make it happen. Show us. We want to see it. And he's like, I can't just manifest oil at any time I want to. And he said, but I'll pray for y'all. Can I pray? And they said, yeah. And he started praying and the oil started flowing out of his hands. And the Muslim saw it. And by the time he left, there were three Muslims on their knees receiving Jesus
wow.
in Louisville, Kentucky. Why do we need signs and wonders? They grab the attention of those that can't be reached any other way. Right? You think about dreams of Jesus in the Middle East. Why is it like that? Well, it takes something drastic to grab the mindset of somebody who was raised in Islam and show them a resurrected Jesus. So God's a God that gives us signs and wonders, and they're supposed to follow us. Stuff like this is supposed to happen. Yeah. It's here. I'm that guy now. You know what I mean? I'm just embracing it. I'm going to roll with it. Whatever God wants to do, he can do it through me.
I love it. I love it. This is a year for manifestation, for signs and wonders. So there's things that we need to be praying about, praying against, but we need to be looking up and looking for those signs and wonders, because people are going to be wondering what's causing this, and we need to be able to lead them to Jesus. So, amen. Pastor Brian, thank you so much for sharing what God has done in 2024 and what you see God doing in 2025. Thank you so much.
Hey, it was an honor to be with you today.